introverted noise.
Hurry up, Daddy.
Let's do it.
5 seconds to go in the first half. Dante fires deep to the left. Moss caught it at the 11, but now he pitches
look
it
at this.
To Mo Williams. Touchdown!
You gotta be kidding me!
All right, and welcome back to another episode of the Climbing the Pocket Podcast. I am your host, Jason Brown. You can find me on Twitter at BrownJason. And, well, we had 1 week. We got one of our co-hosts back, but he's gone again. Our man Yanka, he wanted to do a little acting, so, you know, he's also not here right now. The plan is to have them both back next week, but it's all right. We will, as we always do, we will soldier on. And I got the man, the myth, the legend, the hardest working dude on draft Twitter, JR. What's going on, my man? How you doing?
Doing good, man. Checking out this NBA draft and the chaos that ensues with it.
I love it, man. I love it. You know, the trades. I can't lie and pretend like I know who half these players are, where they played, or what country they played in. But, you know, I mean, I just saw my man's just finished giving a press conference about staying in Philadelphia and then get traded as the press conference was finishing. I mean, that's cold-blooded right there.
He's still going through media stuff with the Sixers hat on right now.
Man.
Yeah, sad.
Man, that is terrible. But, you know, with the NBA draft, I feel like the NHL draft might be sometime around now too, but Miles isn't here, so we're not going to talk about that. Pretty much after that, though, we are in the absolute dead time of sports, but we're going to run through some things here, talk about a little bit of stuff, not make this a particularly long podcast because there really isn't all that much stuff to talk about. With all that said, yo, JR, I'm going to throw you a little bit of a curveball here, you know? We haven't talked about it yet, but the World Cup started. You know, when the whole world, except for America this year, because, you know, America didn't make it, and Canada never, because we're not any good at soccer as a country. But, you know, the World Cup's going on, and, you know, people are talking about it all the time. Productivity is down all around the world. People watching all these games. Do you have a team, JR? Did you know the World Cup was going on outside of Twitter? And have you watched a single minute of World Cup soccer since it started?
I have not watched 1 second of the World Cup, to be completely honest with you.
Have you ever watched any seconds of the World Cup at any point in your life?
I have. Just not a, like I tell y'all all the time in the group chat, I'm just not a big fan of the low scoring sports. It's just hard for me to get into it outside of baseball. I just can't get into low-scoring sports. But obviously, soccer is a huge sport worldwide, but it's just one I've just never been able to get into.
Okay. All right. Well, if you were going to pick a team, like, do you even know which teams made it?
No, I don't.
U.S. not making it this year?
I hear everybody talking about Messi and Ronaldo. I think that's their names.
Okay. Yeah, no, those are the names. Okay, so we'll go this way. Since you know those two players, if you had to pick between those two players, which one are you picking?
Well, it seems like Ronaldo is doing better in the World Cup right now, so I guess I'll go with him.
There you go. Okay, so JR is now cheering for Portugal in this World Cup. Go ahead and write that down. That is your squad. That is your team. You ride with them until the end. Portugal and JR. All right, let's move this thing along. As I said a little bit ago, we don't have too much to talk about, but we got a little bit to talk about because our guy, you know, we're both Florida State people here. And, you know, our man's Jameis Winston, he just can't get right. You know, dating all the way back to Florida State, he found himself in quite a bit of trouble there on quite a few occasions. And it seems like the poor decision making has followed him to the NFL, both on the field and now it would seem off the field as well, where he's been suspended for an incident that may or may not have happened in an Uber. There's just conflicting reports in terms of, you know, what was put in the report, what happened, what didn't happen. I guess, JR, give me your breakdown of the situation with Jameis Winston, what your thoughts are on it, the suspension that appears to be coming down of 3 days, and just any other insight you have that you want to share about it.
Yeah, I don't know the entire details of the whole Uber situation and what exactly happened. but it happened about 8 or 9 months ago, I believe it was. And it just seems like the NFL moves slow with the entire situation, and they're just now making a ruling on it as far as a suspension for him. But all the pre-draft concerns with Jameis Winston seems like they're not seems like, but they are still there with him as far as the off-the-field situation with the crab legs and him just having encounters with females that were on campus, having negative encounters with them as well throughout the years. All those things have just seemed to follow him now entering his fourth year. And the unfortunate situation about that for Jameis is that this was really the year to prove to the Bucs that he was worthy of signing an extension, because he's on the last 2 years of his deal. They did end up extending or exercising his fifth year option for around $20 to $21 million, which is a lot of money for a quarterback this day and age in the NFL, especially a guy considering how young he is. But this was that year, that leap year, that the Bucs were expecting to see from Jameis. And there's a lot of people right now that's really scared around there. Dirk Koetter is really entering a make or break year. And we were talking about in the group chat earlier how brutal their schedule is starting off. I think it's the Saints, the Steelers, and the Eagles in consecutive weeks before going to Soldier Field, which isn't an easy place to play as well, before heading into their bye week. And then directly after their bye week, they have to go to Atlanta or face Atlanta, which is always a tough team to play as well. So the Bucs could be looking at a rocky start to start off their season. And this Jameis Winston suspension is just another huge blow to that.
Yeah, and so, you know, this Jameis Winston situation is one of those things that, you know, I feel like it's indisputable at this point that at a minimum, he's a knucklehead. And we start there, and, you know, the maximum end of that is that, you know, he potentially is a really bad dude who could use some time away from football to get right. But, you know, we don't know all the details. Like you said, you know, there's on one side the Uber driver saying that Jameis Winston was sitting in the front seat and he groped her. On the other side, you have Jameis Winston, who's categorically, obviously, denied the accusations. But he also has, you know, former teammate from FSU, Ronald Darby, who corroborates his story, saying that this Uber driver is saying that there was only one person in the car, that one person being Jameis Winston. They're saying there were three people in the car. Jameis and Ronald Darby were sitting in the back seat. Somebody else who has not been named was sitting in the front seat. And so all that needs to get figured out. But, you know, in the court of the NFL, none of that really matters, as we saw in the Ezekiel Elliott situation, where it doesn't really matter what happens in the court of law. They're going to do what they're going to do based on whatever evidence it is that they have. And so, yeah, I guess, you know, NFL discipline, not really a conversation we need to get into, because, you know, that could be a couple podcasts in and of itself. But I guess for you now, being someone who has followed Jameis Winston's career as closely as you have, dating back to college and through now, with all the issues off the field in both places, if you're the Buccaneers, you know, brass, are you signing him to a long-term extension?
No way. There's no way you can put stock in him at this point. I want to correct something that I said earlier. This actually happened 27 months ago from something that I was just reading about it. So this happened a long time ago. But there's just no way you can put your franchise's hands in Jameis Winston, because you just can't count on him off the field. And then you talk about his performance on the field, which hasn't been bad, but the turnovers is just something that he's never been able to improve upon, even going back to his days at Florida State. That was always the biggest concern with him. But as a quarterback, you have to understand that you represent a brand, and I just don't want a guy like Jameis Winston having my brand attached to a guy like that that has so much off-the-field struggles, and in the blink of an eye, something could happen to him, and you just can't count on him at this point. There's just no way I could sign him to a long-term extension.
Okay, so, I mean, given the state of your quarterback play in the you know, the NFL, and the thirst for quarterbacks, and how desperate and you know, afraid and oftentimes foolish teams are when it comes to making decisions on this, I guess, how do you see this situation playing out with the Bucs? I'm on your side of things here. I would have a difficult time extending him or guaranteeing him a lot of money or putting my name on that deal. How do you think it plays out with the Buccaneers? How do you think that they deal with this whole situation?
It just depends on how they do this year when he comes back after the supposed 3-game suspension that he's getting. And like I said earlier, this is a make or break year for Dirk Koetter. And if they bring in a new regime, they're going to want their own quarterback of their choice. And I just don't see them. They've already exercised Jameis' fifth-year option, but you can still take that back prior to the season starting if they so do choose to do that. And if he struggles again this year, I could see them rescinding that. And if they have a new coach as well, I could just see them starting over from scratch completely.
Whoo! And if they don't pick up the option, let's say he comes back, he plays all right, not great, but you know, just based on the schedule they have, the Bucks miss the playoffs again. Somebody else picking him up, I guess. Where would you think that he might land if he didn't, you know, it doesn't work out with Tampa? Or do you think at that point he goes from, you know, starter in the league to potential, maybe journeyman, maybe out of the league, maybe CFL? Like, what would you see happening if the Bucks don't pick him up?
No, he's a former number one pick, so he'll get a shot somewhere else just because of the draft label that he does have. And on the field, I'm a fan of Jameis. It's just the turnover things that really kills his entire stock. If he was ever able to clean that up, I think he could be a top 12 quarterback in the NFL. He is very talented. Just go back and watch his game in the latter half of the season against the Panthers. That's probably one of the better games that I saw any quarterback play last year. So the talent is definitely there. It's just the off-the-field baggage that comes with it and the turnover factor that comes with him. And you just don't know if he'll ever able to mature and get over that part of his game. But if him and the Bucks do part ways, I could easily see a team picking him up and him being a starter somewhere else.
Okay. All right, all right. Well, that's enough of that. Well, we'll move along to happier things and the happiest day of many of these young men's lives, and we'll talk about the NBA draft. And when I say we, of course, you know we're here. I'm relying on you to really fill in all the details on this because, like I said before, I haven't been following most of these players as time moves along and you know responsibilities stack up, sports start getting dropped off the ledger, and college basketball just hasn't really been able to stay at the top of my list of things to really keep up with. So I'm going to need you to help me out here. NBA draft, give me a recap. Help me understand, you know, what your favorite picks were, who you think maybe reached or ended up in a bad situation, and just, you know, any other, I guess, funny anecdotes or anything else that's happened in this draft that you think would be noteworthy for the listeners.
Yeah, so we all know that I'm a huge basketball fan. I follow it really closely as I follow the NFL. Not the draft prospects from a standpoint, but just as far as the games that's going on. But I'm a huge fan of the NBA. It's my second favorite sport outside the NFL. I've been following it closely since I was young, and it's something that I've grown to be attached to. That's a story for another day. Just talking about the NBA draft. First overall pick, obviously, was DeAndre Ayton, the center from Arizona. A really great story, a guy that grew up in the Bahamas, I believe it was, came over here when he was 5. He moved over here with his family, and he's been here ever since. Grew up in Arizona, and it's a great story that he gets to stay in Arizona and play with the Phoenix Suns. Great young core with him, Josh Jackson and Devin Booker. They're really putting a good core together with those three. And the future is looking bright in Phoenix. They haven't really been good since the Steve Nash, Mike D'Antoni days with Amar'e Stoudemire, Joe Johnson, and all those guys. So this is the best their future has looked in some time. With the second pick, I wasn't a big fan of Marvin Bagley to the Kings. The Kings are just one of those teams that I think isn't ever going to be good. They just haven't been good since the days of Mike Bibby, Peja Stojakovic, and all those guys. And they just have too many big men. And they just took another big man with Marvin Bagley. Yeah, it's just they just have a cluster there, and I just don't see how that's going to work out there. We had our first trade of the night with Luka Doncic going to the Dallas Mavericks and the Atlanta Hawks getting Trae Young, which I think was a fair swap. I think Doncic is going to have a more immediate impact than what Trae Young will have because he's going to have a better team around him. And I think he pairs very well with the guy that you know I was a huge fan of last year, and Dennis Smith Jr. I think him and Doncic can really work out really well there in Dallas. And if the Mavericks are able to get a big man, I think they can make some noise in the future. Shout out to our guy, Realistic Randy. He's a huge Mavericks fan, and he was begging for them to take Doncic, and he was very happy about that. So my favorite pick of the night, definitely was the Doncic pick. And the steal of the night came with Michael Porter Jr. to the Denver Nuggets. The biggest thing with him is that he has had some back issues, and it really held him out for most of his season last year with Missouri. He ended up slipping to the last pick of the lottery at 14th overall to the Denver Nuggets. So that's just a quick recap. I could talk here all day, but, you know, we're mainly a football podcast, and I don't want to bore everyone out with basketball talk.
Yeah, and David lets me know about it. But, you know, obviously I grew up in Atlanta and, you know, still got lots of peoples down there. Tell me a little bit about, you know, these picks that the Hawks got in here. And, you know, is the future looking any better for the Hawks, or is it still going to be more of the same?
Yeah, it's not looking very bright right now. I thought they should have taken Doncic, but they ended up taking Trae Young. But the thing about Trae Young is he is a bit small for NBA standards. He's only about 6'1", 6'2", but a lot of people are comparing him to Steph Curry. I don't really see that. He can shoot as well as Curry, or he has the potential to be able to shoot one day as well as Curry can, but he just doesn't have the dribbling skills and the killer instinct that Steph Curry has. But he's going to be able to put up some good numbers there. And he's going to be able to have an immediate impact. Now, the biggest thing is, what are they going to do with Dennis Schroeder with his huge contract? And I just don't see anybody trading for that or being able to take it on. So they have a bit of a logjam there at point guard. John Collins is a good building block there for them as well. So there is some building blocks there, but the future isn't looking very bright outside of Trae Young and John Collins.
Okay. All right. Well, hopefully Trae Young can keep himself away from the Atlanta nightlife. And, you know, because, I mean, that's really the thing. That's why I was kind of hoping they picked Doncic, because, you know, I felt like he might be able to resist the wiles of Atlanta. So hopefully Trae Young will be able to do likewise. And we'll see how that all works out. But
hope he doesn't hang with Migos.
The first time you see him with a celebrity, you know it's all over at that point. It's over him already.
Right.
It's over. They just need to go ahead and trade him to Oklahoma City because it's a wrap. But, you know, the next topic of conversation, you know, one of the things we talked about, like, I don't even know if we talked about it. I know I sent the article in the group chat after last week's episode when we were talking about, you know, LeBron and where he might end up. And, you know, we were talking about L.A. as being one of, when I say we, I mean you, talking about L.A. as one of the destinations and, you know, maybe Paul George going with them. And then, you know, ESPN dropped an article in which they discussed the potential of LeBron, Kawhi, and Paul George all going to Los Angeles. And then, you know, it comes out this week that, you know, it's leaked that Kawhi Leonard is looking for a trade, doesn't want to go back to San Antonio. And so I guess I want to get your thoughts on the Kawhi Leonard thing, because, you know, there was a lot of conflicting information coming out this year. How hurt was he? He doesn't trust the medical staff of the Spurs. You know, teammates coming out and making it seem like maybe he quit on the team, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I guess for you, JR, as a guy who does follow basketball as closely as you do, I guess, what are your thoughts on that whole Kawhi Leonard situation? Like, did he give up on his team? And, I guess generally speaking, I mean, he's an amazing talent, but like, if he did quit on his team, is that a guy that you'd want to add to yours?
Yeah, this is definitely a weird situation that's going on. Everyone knows that the Spurs are definitely one of the most classiest organizations in all of sports. And they really haven't had just that one huge superstar by himself. It's always been a group of collective players, even with Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, and Ginobili. They were all a collective, tight-knit group. With Kawhi Leonard, it's really just him, because Paul Gasol is definitely on the tail end of his career. And I just don't consider LaMarcus Aldridge a superstar at this point. He's just more along of a star, but Kawhi Leonard is a superstar. And last year was really weird. He only played in 9 games, I believe it was, and a lot of people were labeling him as a quitter because when he was injured, he was just distant from the team, and a lot of people were reporting that he wasn't going to away games, and he just kept his distance from the team. And what Kawhi was saying was that he was just looking out for himself. He's entering a contract year next year, and he wants to be able to maximize as much money as he can make in 2020 when he is scheduled to be an unrestricted, or 2019, excuse me, when he's scheduled to be an unrestricted free agent. He can choose where he wants to go. So he didn't want to force himself to play this year and injure his hamstring worse than what it was, because hamstrings are definitely a tricky injury that you have to allow to heal on their own. If you don't, they're going to constantly keep giving you pain. And that's just something that he didn't want to deal with. And I have no problems with what he did, because I'm almost always in favor of the players when they're looking out for themselves. And money doesn't seem to be a huge factor for Kawhi Leonard. He just wants to be able to get fully healthy and be able to play again. And you could tell money isn't a factor for him, because everyone talks about him still driving a 1997 Tahoe and staying in a one level house. And he's just a different guy. That's just how Kawhi Leonard is. And
going to the same hairdresser since. I mean, we can't forget that. My man Kawhi still got the straight cornrows from back in the 90s too. Like, you know, he ain't never changing.
Right. And then he's already said he has no problems turning down the five-year $219 million Supermax deal that the Spurs can offer him, as opposed to making $139 million in the open market. So money isn't a huge factor for him. He just wants to go somewhere that he enjoys playing. And he's a West Coast guy. He seems to want to get back out that way, which leads me to the Lakers' point. They're playing hardball with the Lakers right now, but I think they'll soften their stance eventually, because the Lakers are one of the teams, them and the Celtics are the two teams that really can offer the best package of players and picks. And I don't think they want to trade him to the Lakers because they're in the Western Conference, but I think the Spurs are starting to enter a rebuild mode. And what I mean by that is their roster is starting to get much younger at this point. And they just need those picks, and they really don't have that young guy that they can build around at this point. But if the Lakers have plenty of guys, or the Celtics have plenty of guys that they are able to build around, especially the Lakers, they can offer you a Brandon Ingram or Lonzo Ball, or even a guy like Kyle Kuzma. So they have those options that you can build around for the future. So I think Kawhi may end up on the Lakers, but it's probably not going to happen anytime soon. But they're on the clock until the trade deadline, because they want to get something for Kawhi Leonard.
All right. Well, let's let some folks out of their misery here. We'll stop talking basketball, I guess, for now. If something else pops in my head, though, we reserve the right to come back to it. But last week we talked Julio and, you know, holdout, minicamp, really, you know, not really being a big deal, feeling like, you know, Julio being one of the best in the game, you know, not being there is really the only leverage these players have. But now stories are coming out that, you know, Julio and T.O. are kicking it. And JR, I guess, does this change where you're at with things with Julio a little bit? And I guess, what are your thoughts on this budding relationship or ongoing relationship that these two seem to have now?
It doesn't, man. I think people are just overblowing this whole narrative, and it's just something to talk about during the dead period. Of course, T.O. is going to put some bad thoughts in his mind, but Julio has rarely ever been a guy that loves the limelight or anything like that, and he's just enjoying his time being in the limelight now. And his personality or his outspokenness has changed a bit since he's been with T.O., but T.O. has really helped Julio realize his worth, and I'm sure he's put some negative things into his mind. And T.O.'s the type of guy that'll say, even on their ride to a workout, he'll be like, man, you know, such and such is making 8-9 more million than you, like Davante Adams, for example. You know, he's making 2-3 more million a year than you. So just little things like that. It's probably the negative things that he's putting in Julio's mind, but I just think it's an overblown narrative and just something for people to talk about at this point.
And because we didn't talk about it. Yeah, I don't know that we did talk about it. What are your thoughts on T.O. skipping the whole Hall of Fame thing?
I don't have an issue with it, honestly. I mean, I thought T.O. got a very raw deal as far as he should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer. And the Hall of Fame is all about what you did on the field, not your personal feelings towards a player. With the numbers that he put up throughout his career, there is no reason in the world that he shouldn't have been a first ballot Hall of Famer.
No doubt. And I can't remember where I heard or read it. Somebody was kind of joking, but it would also be hilarious and a very T.O. thing for T.O. to be like, I'm not going to the official ceremony, and then like sell the rights to his Hall of Fame speech to another network and do that and get paid for it, because, you know, T.O. needs that money. So, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's about getting in. I don't know. If T.O. is not about the pomp and circumstance, or feels some kind of way about the way the process went, or the way people talked about him through the process, or even the way people are talking about him now that he said he doesn't want to go, I mean, I get it. And I really don't understand why people care so much. Like, as a player getting into the Hall of Fame, I get it. I understand why that's a huge honor, but I just don't understand why, like, casual fans of just random teams are so invested in whether or not T.O. is going to go or not go. But I mean, I guess I'm a little different. I can't remember the last time I watched the speeches live. I usually just, you know, like an award show, I catch the best of after the fact and, you know, figure out what's what from there. So, all right. T.O. and Julio, not a big deal. T.O. not going to the Hall of Fame induction ceremony, also not a big deal. Next thing here, want to talk to you about a little bit. We talked last week, you know, best roster and Ivana on the offensive side of the ball. And I'm actually interested to get your take here, because I had to do a bit of defensive ranking on another podcast before this one. So I'm interested to see how far apart we are, how close we are when it comes to these things. But if you had to rank kind of the best rosters from a defensive standpoint in the NFL, just based on what you know right now, give me your top three.
So this was tough to me. There's a lot of rosters that I really like from a defensive standpoint. And I set it on my top three being the Jaguars, the Vikings, and I struggled with my third one, but I went with the paper champs and the offseason champs, and I went with the Los Angeles Chargers. I just love what they have on defense. I love their secondary. Now, they do have some questions at linebacker and in the interior of their defense, but you have Ingram and Bosa coming off the edge. You have so many DBs, and then you add Derwin James in the mix with guys like Casey Hayward, Jason Verrett, who hopefully he can stay healthy this year, Desmond King had a breakout rookie year, and then you add in just a great suit who I think is going to be a superstar in Derwin James. I just love what they have created on defense.
Okay, yeah, I can't be mad at any of that. Can't be mad at any of that. Those are all very good choices, and as I'm sitting here off the top of my head, I can't really think of where I would disagree. I think the Chargers are a eternally slept on team, and yeah, their secondary is amazing. Their front, yeah. Love it, love it, love it. No disagreements for me whatsoever. And I know you said we weren't going to kind of do this segment, but again, I have you here. Not a lot of stuff to talk about, so I'm going to force you to give me your answers on this one anyway. You know, Yink and Miles aren't here. We're supposed to do a mock draft. Didn't really work out because, you know, folks had stuff to do. I was about to say something bad about our co-host. But, you know, people got stuff to do. Real life pops up, and so it happens. But, JR, you know, we always talk about the triplets, kind of dating back to, you know, the 90s, and you had, you know, Aikman and Emmett and Michael Irvin. And so that's kind of, you know, the term the triplets was coined, and it's something that people talk about all the time. And obviously, you know, we got the Vikings now, where I guess, you know, you got Kirk Cousins, and you got Dalvin Cook, and then, I guess, flip a coin, Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen. But if it was you and you're thinking, you know, this year NFL going in, and you had to kind of determine like the triplets, which team has the best combination of quarterback, running back, wide receiver? Who are the teams that come to mind for you immediately?
Just the top three, or
give me your top three.
So this is really tough, man, because there's so many good triplets around the league. Obviously, my top one, you got to start in Pittsburgh. With those three, the Triple Bs, Big Ben, Le'Veon Bell, and Antonio Brown. I just think those three guys are just phenomenal together. And, I mean, the sky's the limit for those guys. I'm really shocked that they haven't gotten as far as they have. I mean, I just love watching those three play because any of those guys can take over the game at any moment. And they mesh so well together. Now they lost their play caller in Ty Haley, but – I still don't expect any type of drop-off from those guys. My next one would be in New Orleans. I just love the combination of Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara, and Michael Thomas. I love that trio, especially those two young guys, and Kamara, who burst onto the scene last year as a rookie, and Michael Thomas, who has put up significant numbers every year he's been in the league. And we know Drew Brees is always going to be Drew Brees, future Hall of Famer that he is. And I went back and forth between Minnesota or Atlanta, but I'm going to stay with the hometown team. I'm going to go with Minnesota. I love the combination of Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook, and pick whoever you want between Stephon Diggs or Adam Thielen.
Whoa. So we got to talk about this one for just a little bit here. So you putting, I mean, wow. So I guess for you, as you kind of look at rate, grade, however you want to say it, quarterbacks, how wide is the gap that you see for yourself when you're kind of comparing a Kirk Cousins to a Matt Ryan?
I think it's a significant gap, because Matt Ryan has played at a higher level than what Kirk Cousins has ever played at, from just looking at a number standpoint. But he's always had that go-to guy in Julio Jones, and that's why I'm so interested to see how Kirk Cousins played this year, because he's never had that dominant go-to guy like he will have in Minnesota. Yes, he has some really good targets in Washington, but he's never had that dominant guy that can take over the game like those two can in Minnesota. And I think these are easily the best two receivers that he's played with in his career to date. So I'll go TBD, to be decided. So another trio that I like that we didn't even bring up was the Chargers with Phillip Rivers, Melvin Gordon, and Keenan Allen. I think those three guys are phenomenal as well. So there's some really good trios around the league.
Yeah, I mean, if you make Gronk a receiver, you might even be able to slide the Patriots in there, even though, you know, and whoever the Patriots put in at running back, because, you know,
you got to include like five running backs.
you just make them like, you know, one amalgamated running back altogether. But yeah, there's a ton of good trios. It gets tougher when you start looking for like the workhorse type running backs who are actually, you know, good. I wonder about Melvin Gordon. He gets the touches. I don't think he's that good, but he gets the touches. So kind of all that matters, because there's just not that many guys that get that kind of opportunity share anymore. So all right, I'm still tripping on Minnesota over Atlanta, though. I was not expecting you to go that way, but you know, you brought it for the hometown team. I'm sure Miles will have a little something to say about, you know, say about that one here, you know, what you disrespecting this man Matt Ryan and all that.
You know, he's Matt Ryan's burner account.
Yeah, he is Matt Ryan's burner account. All right, well, that's it from a sports related perspective. That's really everything we want to touch on. You know, not going to drag this thing out. It is a slower time in the year, so we can keep the pods coming, but when there's not a lot to talk about, we're just gonna make them shorter podcasts. But the last thing we did want to talk about, because I am pretty hype about it, is Creed 2 trailer dropped. JR, is this one of those few movies a year that will actually be able to make it into the rotation, so that when we're talking about a movie, you will also be able to join in and talk to us about said movie?
It is, man. I actually enjoyed the first Creed. It was much better than what I was expecting it to be, but I knew they were setting it up for a Creed 2 just because of how it ended at the end. It ended really abruptly, and it makes sense now. And I'm like, okay. I'm happy to see the trailer for Creed 2. It looks very interesting, but I wanted to pivot to you because, you know, you're part of the movie expert crew in the group. What'd you think of the trailer?
Oh, man, I loved it, man. I loved it. I love everything about, like, Creed is the reason I was so hyped for Black Panther coming out. Just the combination, like, Coogler, the director for Creed 1, Black Panther, just the way that he was able to tell the stories. And yeah, going into Creed, I had the first one, I really didn't know what to expect, but just the way they were able to tell that story, make you care about not just the characters and people that you knew, but even just like, you know, the girlfriend and, you know, all of that other stuff. And the way they tied it all together was just so well done. And then this trailer, I mean, it was a really well done trailer in that it gets you hype, but I mean, you really have no, like, they don't really give anything away in this one either, which I thought was another really good thing about how they did the trailer, is that, like, I really want to see the movie. I feel like, you know, I guess Drago's son is going to be in it. And I mean, that's all you really know. You don't, they don't really build it up for you too much. You still really want to see the movie. So yeah, I'm really, really excited. And it still trips me out every time I see, oh boy, that's Wallace from The Wire. Just every time I see him, it still trips me out that's Wallace from The Wire. All Swole Boxing and all that stuff. So yeah, I can't wait for that one to come out. And yeah, I guess we'll need our boy Yinka to start doing some more push-ups or something so he can be in the in the last one. Get him in the ring.
I know, man. We need Yinka here for his annual movie review of Black Panther.
Yeah. That's probably where he is. He said he was in an acting class. He's probably watching Black Panther again. So
right.
Yeah. But yeah, that's it. Just JR. You got any upcoming articles, any work that we should be looking for? I know it's the dead time for sports in general, but the work never stops for you. I guess anything we should be looking for?
Yeah, so I know I've been talking about it forever, but I'm finally going to release it next week on Inside the Pyline, my interview with two NFL scouts, just walking me through their day-to-day operations, of their job, and just the entire 12-month period that goes along with that.
Awesome. Yeah, that is going to be really interesting. And that's something that I think a lot of people will be interested in reading and checking out, just because I don't know that a lot of people really fully understand or appreciate what the scout's life really is like. So, yeah, I'm going to be interested to really get that inside look at that and get that perspective. And then I guess, when do we lose you, JR? Because I feel like, you know, we're counting down now. Things are getting close. Things are getting real. Yeah, are we going to keep you through the entire summer? Or is there any point here where we're going to have I guess a break from you on the podcast as well?
Yeah, man. July 14th is the big day. Get married, then flying to Jamaica that whole next week. So I'll be out of commission for a couple weeks.
Beautiful thing. Everything. I guess, well, do you even know what's going on? Is everything done? Are you involved in this process, or do you just have to show up on time?
Everything is done, man. Everything's paid for. I just got to show up at this point.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about right there. Well, you know, we'll give you a preemptive congratulations now. Another one after it's all said and done. And I guess we'll have to put a countdown clock on the website or something like that, you know, from now until when JR walks down the aisle. But that's our episode. That's all we got. Gentlemen, I say gentlemen out of habit there. Gentleman, JR, thanks for coming on, chopping it up with me tonight. Listeners, thank you for listening. And yeah, I guess we will talk to you guys again soon. Have a good one.